All right, we got Stephen Caldwell and Christian Jack in here, a Scotsman and an Englishman. We're so happy about this.
We just need an Irishman, and we've got the trio.
We do this guy.
Flanagan O'Neill right here, buddy.
Love it.
So we got the trio in here. We're all good. So we have a serious question for you guys. I don't think Luke Wildman's going to throw this at you anytime soon. So
well, we do a thing on our show.
It's called... we've been here 12 hours, so it's about time we got a good question.
Here we go.
We do this thing called bar play, where it's like, you know, somebody goes into a bar and causes a stir. Who do you think would have better bar play, Ronaldo today or Beckham in his prime?
Ronaldo today.
You?
Ronaldo. No,
but we're talking Beckham. It doesn't. Not the player and the money they've made.
No, I know.
It's the whole deal.
Like
the whole
Beckham,
good-looking guy.
Ronaldo's a good-looking guy.
Oh, he's so is. I agree.
But Ronaldo has everything that Beckham has, and he's a world-class footballer that Beckham never was.
Mm-hmm. So. And he's 6'1", too, right? Beckham's not that tall, I don't think.
So, like, Beckham...
Listen,
like,
hey, Beckham must be 6 foot.
Like, Beckham
really?
Was... Yeah. Like, Beckham married a Spice Girl. That's the only thing Ronaldo didn't do, I guess.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Beckham is a bit of a superstar.
Oh, he's a superstar, for sure. But, yeah. I think what Beckham has in terms of pull... and whatever, whichever way you want to think about that word.
Yeah,
Ronaldo has that too. And like I said, you
he's
know, he's just scored a hat trick in a World Cup game.
Yeah, I'm on Ronaldo, man. He got my vote. But Beckham, I think he ran some VIP back in the day, I would assume.
I just felt
Manchester.
Like Beckham, he was such a big name throughout the world. So as Ronaldo was too. I just thought it would be. But it's hard to compare in prime because now you're going back, 15 years? When was Beckham at his peak as far as popularity in the world, not as a player?
Yeah, it's popularity. That's a good one. Probably just about the time he married Victoria, I would just say.
Yeah,
and he was playing some great football then. Manchester United competing for Premier League titles consistently, and obviously the Champions League win was big. So I'd say late 90s, early 2000s.
And then he got moved to Real Madrid.
On the top of the world. That was massive as well. But
I guess I always felt with Beckham that his popularity outweighed his actual talent. And I don't mean that in terms of criticism. That's just a fact. You know, like his popularity was far bigger than what was able to produce on the football field. Yet Ronaldo's got both. You know, he's a legitimate world-class player and an absolute superstar. As you guys said, one of the most recognizable, not just, you know, sportsman, but one of the most recognizable men in the world.
Absolutely. And now he's a criminal, right? Like, what's the deal with this story? Like, he's tax evasion, and now he's going to be on probation for 2 years. He's not going to actually go to jail, is my understanding. But, like, what a wild day for him, right? Like, back home in Spain, I think he's going to have to pay back the 18.8 million euros or whatever it is. 2 years probation. Goes out and scores a hat trick against Spain, representing Portugal. I mean, this is just, I've never heard anything like this before.
Yeah,
obviously it didn't affect him.
No, and the story was news because it was leaked, but it certainly wasn't news to Ronaldo. Like, he knew this was coming. This has been happening with Spanish players for a long time. Messi was involved with this. Xabi Alonso was involved with this. It's a consistent theme with just the way that their agents and are channeling money, that the Spanish government have found a different way that you can't do that. But, look, there was never any danger of going to prison. There was just that thought that the Spanish media leaked it today for a little bit of a distraction, but that didn't really work.
It didn't work at all.
Didn't rattle him at all.
That was incredible. Yeah. Like, how fun was that game for you guys? Like, we watched it in here. It was brilliant, back and forth. I keep using the word brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get some cred.
It was brilliant, though, was it not?
It was
great. Sensational. There was nothing. I can't think of a group game like it coming so early between two of the powerhouses, two teams that, you know, are legitimate contenders to win the World Cup. It was just absolutely sensational. The quality, the drama. The decisions, you know, one of the goals cost us. First goal was contentious. Maybe it should have been a free kick. There was a penalty kick in there.
It had everything, really.
Outstanding quality as well, especially from the Spanish. Portugal were blistering on the counter-attack, really dangerous in the break, but Spain, some of the football they played as well was sensational, KJ.
It's one of the best games you're ever going to see. You know, it's one of the best games. It's an instant classic, one of the best games in World Cup history. It's just the way it is. And ultimately, having Ronaldo score a hat-trick, and it is one of those games that will forever be told again and again and again. And when people talk in decades to come, when we're no longer around, and people go, oh yeah, Russia 2018, that was the year that Ronaldo got that hat-trick.
So, in a way, it's a good thing that it happened, but this early into the tournament, I mean, can it be topped? Has it set the bar too high? Can we expect anything better than that?
Well, it'd be very difficult to top that. But I think what is important is that it's clear that a player at his prime, in his peak, is ready to play at this level during the World Cup. And you don't always get that. World Cups come at the end of a very difficult club season where they're exhausted, where they're playing over 60 games, you know, record amount of minutes. And in the past, too often, these world-class stars like Ronaldo, Messi have come to these tournaments and they're burnt out. And we've seen from Ronaldo, the minutes have been managed this season by Real Madrid. He's different. He doesn't work as much on the wing anymore. He plays as a nine. He doesn't cover as much ground. He was slow in the build-up of the season. He scored four goals before Christmas and then exploded. So it's great. To answer your question, Brian, it's evidence that here's one example of a great player who's ready to play at a great level in the best tournament there is.
Yeah, he looked supremely fit today. He really did. He looked like he was ready. And like KJ says, you don't often see that. You see guys coming at the end of 60-plus games and they're tired, they're jaded, they look exhausted. And he certainly didn't look that today. So that's testament to the way that his managers rested him, Zinedine Zidane, at club level, and understanding the age he's at, even although physically he's still in tremendous condition, to allow him to play certain minutes. And like KJ said, a different role as well. He doesn't play in that wide area where he's been asked to track back any kind of distance. He's up top. He doesn't do a lot of work defensively, and that allows him to really flourish when he goes forward with the ball.
Stephen Caldwell, Christian Jack in here, of course, two big members of the panel for the World Cup on CTV and TSN. You can hear the games here on TSN Radio as well. Mo Salah did not end up hitting the pitch today. He didn't end up playing. Egypt ends up losing late. Was that a smokescreen then? Because he was telling the world he was ready to play. You know, he was dressed. He was on the bench. And now they're already saying he's going to be ready to play in the next match against Russia. Should we believe that? Or what happens here with Egypt and him?
Well, it's difficult to believe anything that's said after once he said yesterday in the press conference, Hector Cooper said he's ready to go. But I guess he didn't play his hand. You know, he said after the game today that we always felt that the strongest two games in this game, in this competition for him, were coming next. And I guess you can argue that Uruguay are probably the strongest opponents. And then their World Cup was always going to be defined about how they play against Russia and Saudi Arabia, yeah. And they needed Salah to be fit. He was on the bench today because everybody's on the bench anyway, so if you part the squad, so they kind of just had him out there in his boots, and he didn't really do much warming up. But I don't know. It's a difficult one because, you know, this is always going to play in the second game. Well, we all thought that today as well, so he's clearly not fit, and you've had that injury yourself.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he's not fit. There's no doubt about it. The manager was saying he was, almost 100% fit. That was not true.
Whatever that means. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If he was almost 100% fit, he would have been out there. He was nowhere near that. So we have to see how fit he actually is. I think he's going to start the next game because he has to. It's now or never. It's the big game for Egypt in the group against Russia. And they have to go and beat the Russians. So Salah has to be tested at that level. And you don't really know. I had that injury when I was at Burnley and I fell on the ground a bit like Salah did. And it's the impact injury. You think you're okay and you go and try and hold somebody off, and as soon as you feel the pressure, your arm just breaks. You don't have the strength. It's weakened the whole area. And I think Salah has something very similar, and we're only going to find out how fit he is, because there's no way that's happening in training. There's no contact like that. Everybody will be, you know, treating him with cotton wool, not going near him, not wanting any contact with the guy. So when he goes into the game, the intensity of a World Cup game and a sort of must win for the Egyptian national team and obviously the Russian national team as well, we're going to find out how fit he is. And I'm afraid to say, I fear that he might just last 10, 15 minutes in that game.
Are you guys just like sleeping in the building or?
No, we probably should. I mean, I was up at 4 this morning and then we got to get up at 3 tomorrow because we got 4 games tomorrow.
4 games in a row. Wow.
On the air at 5:30 for France, Australia tomorrow. And then we go all the way through till 6 tomorrow night.
I know. I thought it was yesterday morning. I woke up at like 7 o'clock and I thought I saw you live on CP24. Yeah. Like, I can't believe he's calling into our show. Even.
I know.
Like,
I'm shocked you guys
long
are in
days.
Here. You guys know you don't have to do this, right? Like,
well,
we appreciate
you know,
that you're
you
in
know,
here.
We did a little bit of a favor for our buddy Tyler.
Yeah, we're shocked by it, but we appreciate it. Yeah, wow. Christian Jack and Stephen Caldwell in here. I hate instant replay. I hate it. I hate it in pro sports, and I noticed it today multiple times. They just sit there at half. But, you know, they're sitting there waiting to see if it's going to be reviewed, waiting to see if it went in, if there was an offside. I mean, I know this is early into the process, first World Cup where this is the case, but I already don't like it. We're on day 2. How do you guys feel about it?
Well, today wasn't really impacted by it. I mean, the commentators are talking excessively about it because it's new and it's cool. But the good thing about today was that there wasn't really any stoppages in play where that people are standing around and waiting. I'm like you. I think there's nothing more frustrating than going to a baseball game or something and then just go, oh, okay, we've got to review this, you know, bang, bang, play at first base where we all stand around for 5 minutes and wait for it. Thankfully, that hasn't happened yet. I admit, I think it will come.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Look, the one thing I would say, and we've had Howard Webb on, and we're getting him in this weekend, for those who don't know, Howard Webb refereed the 2010 World Cup final between the Netherlands and Spain and is in charge of PRO, which is a professional referees organization here in North America. He's really been behind this whole the whole VAR, as they call it, in MLS. I just think that the World Cup sets a standard, and they need to set a standard with this.
Yeah.
And only come in when it's clear and obvious, which is the mandate from the start. Only come in when it's clear and obvious to change something, clear and obvious in the decision-making, and we don't want them interfering. That's not always been the case with MLS, yeah, unfortunately, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, we've had it in MLS since last August, so we know it pretty well. We've called games and been part of games where it's been ridiculous. It's been crazy the number of times that it's went to review, longer breaks than what we've seen. I think it's been handled really well so far. It's only day two of this World Cup. It's been pretty quick compared to MLS. And the VAR has only stepped in when it has been clear and obvious, which hasn't been the case yet in any incident. In MLS, it becomes very subjective. VAR or video review steps in. That referee then feels the pressure. He has to go to the monitor. He's feeling the crowd. He's feeling, right, the pressure of the situation. He's changing his decision. And we're just seeing farcical situations. And we need to clean it up. And everybody's working, Howard especially, to try and do that. But so far, so good in the World Cup. Because we don't want to see someone that's slightly offside or, you know, an outrageous tackle that should have been given a red card. We don't want to see that go, a penalty kick that shouldn't have been a dive, which is so difficult in modern football. With the pace these guys are moving at, the referee's trying to keep up to get the right angle at the right time to know if it's a penalty or not. We don't want to see that affect the game. We certainly don't want to see that affect the knockout game in the latter stages.
Yeah, you're bang on. What I like about it the most is that it makes a difference when you don't even see it, Brian. So today, for example, Ronaldo's fouled in the box and Sergio Ramos is going mental at the referee for about 2 seconds and the referee goes, I'm checking it. So Ramos moves away. Far too often in this game that I cover, you see bad behaviour from players towards officials that you would never get away with in other sports. And they just get away with it and get away with it. You just can't get. We just cannot continue to portray that image, mm-hmm, around the world. And what they do is they step away, they give the referee the time, and then they give him the respect because someone's watching on a monitor. And if you go argue with the referee after someone who's watched on a monitor says, no, it's not the case, you're going to look like even more of a moron.
Right.
So that's a good thing. At least if the stoppage is in the play and we're not waiting around, that's a positive for the system without it even being used.
KJ, if you want to see some poor behavior in athletics, Google Jamie McLennan, how his career ended. He started beating a guy over the head with his goaltender stick. It ended his career.
I gave a guy a love tap on the pant area, and he passed away right on the ice. And
just watch.
Resurrected the next day and scored.
Still suspended to this day.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
The Happy Gilmore of goaltender took his skate off and tried to stab a guy.
The media made it worse than what it was.
Those next plays in the media, right? What are you going to do?
Terrible, the worst. These guys are always the worst. Yeah. Well, thanks for sticking around and coming in here, guys.
Pleasure.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll bother you again next week.
Yeah, so we'll be around.
The door's open. If you guys ever want to come in,
And maybe
they don't want to
sleep in the corner.
Sleep in here. Yeah, we'll bother
sleep
you
in the corner. Then.
You guys can sleep here for sure.
All right.
Great seeing you guys. We'll see you tomorrow as well.
Cheers, guys.
Match day three tomorrow. Stephen Caldwell, Christian Jack, and of course Luke Wildman, the smoothest broadcaster in the game.
Yes.
Luke Wildman. He never misses a spot. They'll all be in here starting, again, bright and early tomorrow. And, of course, you can hear the games throughout the weekend right here on TSN Radio as well.